Hello, welcome to another episode of the Hope Motivates Action podcast. I am your host, Lindsay Recknell, and it is my pleasure to have my new friend, Karen Stiles, here with us this morning. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
So awesome to have you here. I am super pleased for this conversation. I think it's super timely, both from a professional and a personal level, and I can't wait for people to hear how you use hope to motivate action in your life.
Oh, I'm so thankful that you are having me on your podcast.
Let me share a little bit more with the listeners from a professional point of view. Let me share your bio with them, and then we'll get right into your story.
Sounds good.
So Karen Stiles is a career and life coach, founder of Flow and Fire Coaching. She's also the host of the Intentional Career Podcast. Before becoming a coach, Karen spent 14 years in a variety of industries, including career services, recruitment, and education. During that time, she went through a lot of angst about her work before finding her calling as a coach. Karen is committed to digging through the muck of complex work and life feelings with her clients so they can really listen to their authentic inner voice for guidance. She provides interview coaching, career direction, and life coaching because everyone deserves to discover and to do what lights them up. Yes, we all want to do what lights us up.
Don't we? Yes.
Yeah. And I really feel like that's a thing that we should be able to do.
Yes.
So Karen, tell us a little bit more about how hope motivates action in your life.
Ooh, such a great question. And it's interesting because when we first started talking and you were talking about how, you know, what is hope and how does it motivate action? One of the first things that came up for me is that sometimes you have to deal with the despair or anger or frustration and the, you know, quote unquote, negative emotions before you get to hope. And, you know, I think that's what happened for me. I think if you try to ignore the frustration, it's hard to get to hope too, you know, ignoring the negatives, you know, what do they say, that numbing emotions, you have to numb them all. You can't just choose to turn off the negative ones. So for myself, how this happened was I got to a place a few years ago and I was working in recruitment as an executive recruiter, headhunter. And it was the best job I'd ever had at the time. The best people I'd ever worked with. It was the best salary I'd ever had. It had, you know, pretty good career trajectory, lots of interesting work. And I still wasn't happy. And that fact was kind of driving me crazy, right? Because I was like, I should be happy, you know, like this, this is good on paper. These are the best opportunities I've ever had. So what is going on? And I think for a good part of that time, I tried to not feel that frustration. I tried to tell myself that that was imagined. I tried to just focus on the good things or try to ignore the frustration. And that didn't work for me.
Weird
how that didn't work. And so through a couple of conversations, I remember so clearly one day driving home from work with my partner. And I was, again, talking about the angst and how frustrated I was. And he finally just said, like, he kind of got so frustrated that he was like, Karen, I don't like seeing you like this. You know, if you want to make a change, whatever it takes, let's make it happen because I don't like this. Like, it's not good for me to see you like this either. And I was kind of shocked. you know, partly it kind of showed me that it was real, that this frustration wasn't just imagined, but that, you know, he recognized it as something real and that it was affecting him too. And I had another conversation with a friend too, where I was like, oh, maybe I should just be more grateful. And she was like, it's okay, Karen. It's okay to want more than you have. It's okay to want things that are better, you know? And so it's interesting how, you know, sometimes you need the voice of an outside person to just reflect something back to you for it to really land. And so through that, you know, I wish I could say, actually, during that time, I did want to start a business. I had the idea about starting a business, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. I wish I could say, oh yeah, I started a business and everything was good. But it took me about 5 more years to get to the point of launching my own business. But I think those moments really allowed me to start looking inside and recognizing what was really going on for me. I'm a bit of an introvert. I mean, I'd say I'm an ambivert actually, but recognizing, writing down what's going on, what am I feeling, and accepting those feelings. I think that was during the time I started getting into mindfulness and meditation. I read the book Radical Acceptance by Tara Brach. Yeah, you're familiar, I see. Mm-hmm. and just the idea of acceptance of, you know, oh, I'm feeling anger. Okay. Oh, I can accept that and what's going on in my body. And that was really transformative to accept what's going on and to recognize that that was okay, rather than running away, because the running away from the so-called negative feelings didn't work for me. So I think ultimately when you get frustrated enough, maybe this is what happens to you. When you get frustrated enough, there's actually a seed of hope underneath that, mm-hmm. right? There's something in there that says, this can't be how it should be. Like, there's got to be something better than this. So on the surface, it looks like frustration, anger, maybe even despair. But underneath it, there's something saying, there's got to be more. There must be something better. So I think that's where maybe we think it's despair, but actually there's a seed of hope underneath. So.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I can just I can visualize how that feels in my body, in my mind, in my head. Because it's so my definition of hope is that the future will be better than today. Yeah. And it is that little bit of, yeah, that seed of hope to say, it doesn't have to be this way. In fact,
yes.
It can't possibly stay this way. Like, there has to be something better.
Right.
And very cool that you recognized it, but that you also shared that that is something to be recognized, because I imagine mm-hmm. I'm in the brains of the people listening to this show right now, yes. hearing you speak and hoping that they are also recognizing underneath that despair and frustration and angst and impact to their friends and family and probably their current career, that there is that seed of hope underneath that maybe we aren't recognizing because we are numbing all of the emotions.
Right.
Because as you mentioned, we can't be selective about that. Although yeah. I suspect we would like to be. Yeah. But when we're numbing the negative emotions, we're also numbing those positive emotions, of which hope is a positive emotion. Mm-hmm. Very insightful, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. It's very cool to hear your experience, because I imagine that there's a lot of people feeling the same experience. We're recording the show in August of 2021. Mm-hmm. We are, you know, the world is opening back up. People are going back to the office. And I don't know if you've heard of this thing the great resignation, the talent tsunami,
yes.
you know, all of these things. Yeah. And which, I mean, this isn't a workplace mental health conversation. Anybody who wants to talk about that, please tune into my other podcast. but I think the fact that we are having conversations about the talent tsunami and the great resignation is because people are recognizing where they're at and figuring mm-hmm. out that enough is enough, that they yes. don't have to be in this place forever.
Yeah.
Is that what you're seeing in your business as well?
I am. I'm seeing, I mean, I do some work in career transition. So with folks who have been laid off, I work with lots of those folks too, which of course we've seen a lot of that in the last year as well. And I'm reading a lot about the great resignation and the numbers coming out of the US that 4 million people quit their jobs in April of 2021 alone.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And what was it? Microsoft did a worldwide survey and like 41% of their employees had plans or were thinking of leaving. So these are huge, huge numbers. And I think having gone through the experience that we went through in 2020 and now into 2021, that there's a lot of evaluation going on, right? And maybe there was a, for a time, people are like, okay, I just got to hang on. Just got to hang on to this job. Because if you don't know if there's another one out there, it can be scary. But at the same time, there's a lot of evaluation going, okay, some things have really gotten clear for me. And if I'm not happy, I'm not willing to stay unhappy continually. So yeah, there are lots of folks that, and also they've been frustrated with how they've been treated during the pandemic, right? Did my employer trust me? Did, was I supported if I needed to homeschool my kids? All of those things. Can I keep a flexible, like, can I be flexible in my work or do I have to go into the office? All of these things, you know, when some people realize their life was better now that they were working from home. And then if they get forced to go back to the office, what does that mean for them? So I think, you know, I think people are taking choices into their own hands now and going, okay, this is a time where it's really important for me to choose what is best for me. And I think, you know, like I said before, there must be hope underlying that. And I think I totally agree with you when I was thinking about my definition of hope. I think it's the belief that things can be better than they are now. So yeah, thinking a lot about those things.
I think it's really a cool opportunity, you know, so we're coming out of something that's unprecedented. We're going mm-hmm. into something that's unprecedented as mm-hmm. well. And I really think that it's an opportunity because unlike a year and a half ago, when people were feeling like, I have to hold on to this job, I have to stay miserable because I can't, the alternative is too uncertain, is too scary. Now we're going, well, there is opportunity for me to feel happier without as much risk as there was before. We get to choose. The masses are kind of running the show here where employers are paying attention and recognizing that they have to take care of the mental health of their people and recognize that they get to bring their whole selves to work and all of those things. Because if they don't, there is another employer that will. You know, as someone who's worked in recruitment and I have tons of people in the recruiting industry who are telling me that they have never been busier.
Yes.
Because employers, great employers, are hiring great people. So mm-hmm. So people don't have to stay where they are. They actually get to figure out what's best for them and their families, and they get to make those moves. Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of conversations are you having with people who are thinking, you know, I don't know how to do that. For so long, I've been, you know, following the traditional path, or I've been in this job forever and I don't know how to make that move. What kind of conversations and what kind of tips are you giving to people in that are thinking about enough is enough? Let's make a move here.
I mean, it's pretty individual for each person. So that was the first thing that comes to mind. I don't think I'm necessarily giving everybody the same advice because everyone's considering different things. But one of the things that I found really valuable is to take some time to assess and reflect on your past experience. And this is something that I do with my clients as well, is something about thinking through your past jobs and your current job and like, what did you like and what did you not like about it? And reflecting on those things. A lot of times when we're in our job, if we're really busy, we don't think about those aspects. What do I like? What do I value? What are my career needs? So sometimes that's where the help of a coach comes in, right? To ask you those questions and take some time to reflect on them. And going back to my story, actually, that's what I did. I just took a piece of paper and I put a line down the middle and was like, job, likes, dislikes, did that for like the past few jobs. And I went through and highlighted. And I saw a pattern. The words people, people, people came up and help, 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 help came up, which maybe it's not surprising that now I'm a coach, but it just kind of showed me something that there was this thread through all of my work, even though, you know, I had been a recruiter or an ESL teacher or a barista and an assistant manager at Starbucks, all the parts that made me happy, that gave me energy, that I really enjoyed, that I wanted to do more of, involved helping and people. And so those types of things, like reflecting, where have you been? Sometimes that can give you some information that will help guide the future. Because yeah, it's a bit scary to go, okay, what I have now is not what I want, but now what do I do? So we have to start somewhere. And sometimes, you know, that's looking, I call it looking back to look forward, right? Where am I? Where have I been? And does that give me information about where I want to go next? And all that to say too, it's not necessarily about replicating only the good things you've had before. You might think, you know, there are some things that I have never had exposure to, that I've never done, that I really do want to do in the future. So yeah, taking the time to think through, assess, have those conversations with a coach and all of those things, that all really helps.
It's like you're setting me up to share my things. I swear my life, we didn't script this, but I mean, what you're talking about is exactly the coaching program that I'm launching in the next couple of weeks. You know, it's that identification of who you are, you know, what lights you up, what experiences you've had that you super excelled in, that you flourished in, figuring out, okay, cool, where you are, you know, what life circumstances are you in? You know, how did you get here? You know, what is your identity? What are your values and all those kinds of things? And then awesome. Now, where do you get to go? And I loved what you said about identifying some things that you've never done that you'd like to try. Mm-hmm. This is a cool opportunity to do that too. You know, we don't have to do the things we've always done, even if they've brought us joy.
Yes.
What if there are more things to bring you joy?
Yeah. 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 And there are things that you maybe were great at and that you enjoyed that you actually don't want to do anymore. Right.
Yeah.
It might be like, that was great and I'm ready to let that go and experience something else. Yeah.
Well, and they gave you so much joy, but maybe you were a different person then, or you were, you know, you had a different partner, you know, you were in a different country or whatever. And you can find experiences that are similar or will replicate those feelings, but still, you know, honor your, I don't know, risk-taking or adventure-seeking kind of mentality or whatever. How important is identifying values to the work that you do, or like career planning? Is that something that you talk about in your practice?
I do, you know what? Not a lot. I feel like that's the wrong answer. I think often what happens in our conversations, maybe it's going into the difficult areas, the things where people are really frustrated. That actually is where you start to recognize what's important. And I guess you would use that language of values. And so just as an example, I mean, I've talked to a couple of clients over the last few weeks and, you know, really expressing a lot of frustration about what's going on and sometimes not knowing what to do. And part of my, I think, focus is to stay with that discomfort and really explore it. And it's almost like, you know, the way out is through. But to go in and ask more and ask more. And when you start to see, when there's anger or frustration about something, it's usually, you know, that knowledge that this should be better, this should be different. And so I guess in a roundabout way, the values and the things that people really care about do come out. So It's funny. I feel like the correct coaching answer would say, yes, we have a module on values, but I also don't want to pretend that I am an expert in an area that I'm not. So I don't know. I always kind of go into, where are we now? You know, what's going on with you? Let's really get into that and figure out, you know, get to the heart of what's the issue here and how do we find a way to make that better for you, even if that's just a little bit better right now?
I love that. I love the authenticity, the vulnerability of that, because I also don't know a lot about values, but I hear it's the thing to do. But you know, right? I hear that it's the thing to do. I know that many coaches, many of my business friends will say, you must identify your values. You need to know that language and all those things. And they're totally right. I mean, it's awesome. I love that people know their values, but it doesn't have to be the only way.
Right.
Know? And so, I mean, I feel like you have been successful in your life, in your career, without possibly knowing the language of values, the same as I have also been successful in my career. So I love that approach. I love that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be the same for everyone. You get to have a coaching practice and work with your clients in the best way that you know how, the best way that's going to meet them where they're at. And I think that's brilliant.
So I'm curious, if I can interrupt, where did the question come from then?
Well, because I was thinking about like how a person figures out, okay, I know enough is enough now. I know that I need to do something different, that it has, that there is something, it doesn't have to be this way. There must be something better. So then I was thinking, well, how do we go from here to there? And so I wondered if it was about values. Mm-hmm. So if it's not values, what is it? How, like, what would you say to someone who's listening that goes, well, what the hell, where do I go from here now? What would you say to them that are listening?
The first thing I would say is your thoughts and feelings are important as they are right now. They're a signal that's telling you something. And something I often say too is how you feel about your work is important. Because I think we get this message that, like, you don't have to like your work, you just got to do it, you just got to show up. And I don't believe that and I don't agree with that. So I guess to that person who's feeling frustrated, to say how you're feeling right now is important. And that's a signal to you. And hopefully, you know, that's a signal that you've got underneath all that frustration, you've got hope somewhere. And there's some kind of vision for how your life can be better. And, you know, what are the little steps that you can take to tap into that?
I love that. If it matters to you, it matters. Full stop.
Yes. Yeah.
Full stop. You get to feel your feelings. You get to feel uncomfortable. You get to be angry. And you get to work through those things and use them as the signals, like you say. You know, your inner compass is telling you, and you get to choose to ignore it or to listen and to do something about it. The privilege of the environment, the industry, the economy that we're in right now, we have the privilege to be able to not just settle.
Yeah.
We don't have to be miserable. We don't have to be okay. We can be awesome. We can flourish, you know, we get to do all of those things. So what, just start, what are you waiting for? Just start, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's so important. The point that you mentioned there about, the recognition that it's okay to want something more. Tell me about that self-permission. I imagine that must be many conversations that you have with people.
Yeah. It's funny how sometimes folks give themselves permission only when they're frustrated enough with the BS in their lives that they're like, I gotta make a change, you know? I had a client text me after a session recently, and she said, my heart feels better. Thank you. No, deep breaths were hard for a while. And it showed me again that yeah, those work feelings are important because they were really causing her a lot of turmoil, you know? And so talking through it, getting into it, really diving deeper and deeper and deeper, helped her heart feel better, helped mm-hmm. deep breaths happen, you know? So to, again, going back to understanding and recognizing that these emotions and thoughts are signals and looking at them, going into them versus trying to avoid them does make a difference for feeling better. And then, you know, taking the steps to make your life better. So that's where the, you know, the action piece mm-hmm. comes in.
Which we all know, anybody who's listened to the show, action is my thing. Right. Hope without action is just a wish. And you mentioned earlier, like these don't have to be big steps. They can yeah. be little actions, like learning how to breathe deeper, because once you breathe deeper, you calm those stress chemicals in your body and you can yep. start to see a little clearer and think a little clearer. Those little steps really, really matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. How do you recognize that little seed of hope in other people, in your clients, especially if they can't recognize it for themselves?
I think it's when people say, okay, I'm ready to talk to you now, right? I'm ready to ask someone else for help to make this happen. Because sometimes maybe we all get to a point where we just want to stew for a little bit. And that's okay too. But I think there gets a point where for myself and for other people I've spoken to, where you kind of get sick of yourself. Like, I've complained enough about this to the people around me. I need to actually start doing something. So I think there's the reaching out for help, I think, is a big signal. Right? To say, now I'm ready to do something. I'm going to bring another person into this conversation so that I know that I am ready to take action. And I know that's what I do too. You're a coach. I'm guessing you probably hire coaches. I hired a business coach recently and a life coach earlier in the year to say like, okay, I know there's something I want to do and I want to do something about it. And that's the signal for me too, that I'm ready to make a change or start acting is, bringing someone else into the conversation, whether it's for the accountability or just the support, or getting another perspective and knowing I can't do this all on my own. And actually it's easier with the help of another person. That's kind of why I love hiring coaches too. Don't have to slog through it alone. And yeah, so I think that's where I recognize it, the willingness to ask for help and, The frustration is the seed, but the asking for help, I think, is a big signal.
Oh, I totally 100% aligned with you there. And also the part you said about if you've recognized that you've been complaining or talking about this, or it's consuming your thoughts and you can't sleep and all of those things, that's an internal signal to you that maybe it's time to do something about it. If it's all consuming, it's time to mm-hmm. do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or when you get to that point where you're sick of yourself.
Yes. I saw this quote yesterday, Elizabeth Gilbert quote that says,
oh, yeah.
I've never seen any life transformation that didn't begin with the person finally getting tired of their own BS.
Yes.
Right?
100%.
So true. Amazing. Well, Karen, we are getting to the end of our time together. And I ask the same question of all my guests at the end. And that is, Karen, what gives you hope?
What gives me hope is that I know that change is possible, that it is possible for myself, for the people around me who feel frustrated, and that taking small steps does make a big impact. So I know it, I've experienced it, that frustration actually can lead to making change. Frustration can lead to that seed of hope, which leads to taking action. So yeah, change is possible. That's what gives me hope. Things really can be better than they are now.
Yeah, it is totally possible. And not only possible, but probable.
Yes.
You get to choose, you get to have control, you get to engage really smart people like our friend Karen here. If you are feeling that enough is enough, you are frustrated, you are tired of your own BS, you know, that seed of hope is there, and we all get to take action on it. So Karen, thank you so, so much for being here and sharing your brilliance. I know I took away a ton. I feel like I have permission to continue to flourish and, you know, make any changes that I need to make in my own life. And I imagine that the audience is also feeling the same way. So thank you for sharing, and I look forward to connecting with you again really soon.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Take care. I hope you enjoyed this latest episode of the Hope Motivates Action podcast. These episodes are a labor of love. Inspiring conversations with hopeful people make my heart happy. If you also love this episode, it would be amazing if you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. 5 stars if you're into it. It's these reviews that encourage Apple to promote this podcast to their network. And the more people that listen, the more hope we can spread into the world. Don't forget to check out the show notes of this episode to find all the links to my guests, books, and other resources referenced in this episode. You'll also find the link back to my website, where you will find additional support and resources for you, your team, and your community. I truly believe that the future will be better than today by taking action over the things we can control. And hearing from these guests on these episodes, I know that even more hopeful future is totally possible. I'm always looking for inspirational guests, so if you or anyone you know would like to be a guest on the show, please reach out. You can find me on the contact form of my website at expertinhope.com or by email at lindsay@expertinhope.com. When I was a teenager and my sisters were leaving the house to go out for the night, I always made it a point to remind them to call me if they need me. It was my way to tell them that I cared and would always be there for them. I'd love you to know the same, so all of you listening out there, call me if you need me. Again, thank you for your love and support of this podcast, my work in hope, and your intentional focus on making your future better than today. After all, hope without action is just a wish.